This podcast contains strong adult content, probably crude language, and general fuckery. So put those kids away. Get them out of here.
Good evening. In a landmark ruling, the Supreme Court today legalized abortion.
Huge increases in sexually transmitted diseases.
Transgender rights is a fundamental human right.
There is a right to marriage equality. I repeat, speaking to you from the steps of the Supreme Court, there is a right to marriage equality.
Should sex education be taught to our kids?
Rolling back contraceptive coverage for women.
To make sure that women get the health care that they need. So we've got a lot of work in front of us. Thank you very much.
Hi.
I'm Lacey.
I'm Robin.
You're listening to Frisky History, a podcast where we Google history stuff about sex and reproductive health care and feminism, and then we read our results to you over microphones.
That's right.
Yeah.
We're here to do the hard work for you.
We do so much
you don't
typing.
Have to Google it.
We click on articles, copy and paste links.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you're welcome.
Yeah. We're no heroes.
How's your week been going?
It's been good. It's been stressful,
yeah.
But it's been good. I got a new job.
Woo.
Got a new living situation.
Woo.
That's it. But those are two pretty huge life events to
yeah.
happen at the same time. So it's been a lot of like crazy laughing, crying all at the same time. And it's been transformative. And I'm just so at peace.
And
no,
you got a cold.
No. Yeah. And now I'm sick. So it's everything's a nightmare.
Yeah.
But I'm doing great.
Yeah. I also have a cold, so I'm going to be breathing through my mouth a lot.
Yeah. How's your week been other than being sick and disgusting?
That's accurate. Not too bad. I also got a new job.
Hell yeah, you did.
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
I
you did. I'm like going to call my mom and tell her I'm so excited.
Kathy.
Wow.
I got a new job.
That's so exciting.
I'm so happy.
Yeah.
So let's get depressed.
Oh my God. I was just going to say, I was feeling too,
like,
I was too much
too
on too much of an
positive.
Upswing.
Yeah.
So
I'm
going to
bring you down.
Knock me the fuck down.
Listen,
I need to know my place.
Stop smiling.
As a woman.
Stop laughing.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. So my episode this week. It starts with some current events, which is honestly the reason why I did this. It's just because these are current events and I was like, oh, I really don't want to be sad. But then I read them and I was like, ugh, it is my duty to our audience that I talk about this stuff, even if it's going to bring me roll down. So whatever,
yeah.
Here I am. So this past week, because we missed a week, so that's why it's technically last week's news,
mm-hmm.
has brought some very sad news concerning the state of safe and legal abortion in our country. What else is new?
Mm.
So first, because there's multiple stories concerning that last week, in Ohio, the GOP introduced a bill to ban abortion.
Mm-hmm.
That bill would prohibit abortions even in cases of rape, incest, or danger to a woman's life. So basically just all abortions, which are protected by the Supreme Court ruling in Roe v. Wade. But who cares about that? It would allow criminal charges against both doctors and pregnant women seeking abortions. It would characterize an unborn fetus as a person under Ohio's criminal code regarding homicide, which means basically that if you get an abortion, you're going to be charged as if you murdered someone. So that's like life in prison and possibly the death penalty if you live in a state
what
that allows that.
I did not know that.
So that's what Ohio's trying to do. It hasn't been done. So far, it's been sponsored by State Representative Ron Hood, if you live in Ohio, maybe you know who that is, and Nino Vitale, and 18 more House Republicans signed on, but it has not been passed, so maybe there will be some hope and it will be shut down.
Do we know, like, when that would happen?
No.
Yeah, I don't understand. I don't know. I
didn't. It didn't say in the article, and I didn't look up more because this is just like the precursor to my fucking 3,500 word page document right here that I need to get through.
And this is where we're currently at too. So it's
So I don't know exactly, but if I see anything, I'll share it on the Facebook page. If I see any more progress on that, I know that the reason that they're pushing this bill forward is because another one was shut down. So maybe this one will also just be shut down. But if we travel to Mississippi, the governor signed the nation's toughest abortion ban into law. So fortunately, this one is, it's there, it exists, it is now law. Back in 2014, Governor Phil Bryant announced in his state of the state address, which is probably right because it's like State of the Union is what the president does, so it would make sense that a governor would do State of the State, but that sounds funny, doesn't it?
It sounds fucking stupid. They don't know what they're doing.
God, you're so stupid, Phil. God. He announced a goal to end abortion in Mississippi. So this past week, he signed a law called the Gestational Age Act that makes Mississippi the most difficult state in the country to get an abortion. So I'm very sorry, ladies in Mississippi.
Yeah. I know this is so obvious, but it's just like, how is this still even being argued? It just feels like such an obvious, like, it's been said so many times, I don't even like want to say it because it's so obvious, like, my body, my choice. And it's amazing to me that these old white dudes have not just fucking died yet.
I mean, they all say it under the umbrella of this is about women's health, but it's like, is it? Oh, sorry guys, that's gonna happen a lot.
That's okay. Let it out.
So this new law basically bans abortions after 15 weeks of gestation, except in the case of medical emergency or severe fetal abnormality. It does not make exceptions in cases of rape or incest. And currently, there is only one clinic in Mississippi that even provides abortions. The whole state, there's one single clinic. And they're actually going to be suing the state in response to this legislation. But it's basically the whole law, because there's one left. Yeah. I was watching a John Oliver Last Week Tonight clip where he talks about abortions. It's from, like, I don't know, maybe two seasons ago, but he made a funny joke about how Mississippi has four times the S's in its name as it does abortion clinics, which I thought was really funny.
Oh, man.
And we're not done. In California, there's a case before the Supreme Court. Justices arguing the right to know against the right of free speech. So this is kind of difficult to explain, and it's a little confusing. But basically, so there's like these self-identified crisis pregnancy centers, but those are basically the centers who want to prevent abortion. So they get women in under like kind of sketchy pretenses. They don't really tell them what they are. They're there to, like, I think they're kind of come off as like this, we counsel people who are thinking about abortions, but really what it is they're trying to bring women in and scare them out of having an abortion. So California has this case before the Supreme Court where there are these abortion prevention centers that California is trying to ensure that they don't intentionally or unintentionally mislead women who walk through their doors by more fully disclosing what they are from the beginning. And both justices on both sides of the law have expressed skepticism about the truth in advertising law. That's what they're calling this. Basically, just on the grounds of free speech. So it's it's a tough one because someone, like in the article somewhere, I brought up this like example of like, if these abortion prevention centers want to have a billboard, do they have to on that billboard include 14 lines about what they are and what they do, and that they're not federally, like a federal approved type thing, that they're, and then included multiple languages. I don't know. It was a very extensive example that was also extremely specific, but some of the more liberal justices appeared receptive to the state's case initially, but it seems like as they continue to argue about it, that they're are creating quite a lot of doubt. So they may, the pregnancy crisis centers may win that and not have to be more upfront about what they are doing and who they are initially.
Wow.
So before I jump into our episode, now I think it's pretty obvious what our topic is going to be about mostly, which is abortion. So I just want to put out a trigger warning, a disclaimer here. If you feel very strongly about this, maybe this isn't the best episode for you to listen to. You know, there, this is a touchy subject, and this is not necessarily an opinion piece, but I'm not, can't make any promises that we won't express our opinion, as we probably already have multiple times in the first 15 minutes. So just have that thrown out there.
Yeah.
No, I'm giving you a second
yeah.
to decide if you want to turn it off.
Well,
we understand.
Are you still here?
Are you listening? Let's go. Are you ready?
All right.
Okay. Kermit Baron Gosnell was born on February 9th, 1941 in Philadelphia. He's an only child of a gas station operator and government clerk. He was a top student and graduated high school in 1959. Gosnell also graduated from Dickinson College in Charlies. Oh, God, I should have looked up how to say that. Carly's, I don't know how to say that, Philadelphia, someplace in Philadelphia, with a bachelor's degree. In 1966, he received his medical degree at Jefferson Medical School, and some reports said that he spent four decades practicing medicine among the poor, including a halfway house, a rehab clinic for drug addicts in an impoverished neighborhood in West Philadelphia, and a teen aid program. So he became an early proponent of abortion rights in the 1960s and 1970s. And then in 1972, he opened an abortion clinic in Lancaster Avenue in Mantua, maybe? Mantua? It's a West Philadelphia neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Sorry if you're from Philadelphia. I didn't look up how to pronounce these.
All of our Philadelphia listeners.
Oh, my God.
God. Can't even keep
unsubscribe
track.
Below. Oh. I know. And I'll leave terrible reviews. I'm sorry. Philadelphians are very passionate people, so
yeah, there's, you know, there's like bumper stickers that are like keep Portland weird or like keep Austin weird or whatever, but there's one for Philly that's like keep Philly shitty. And I love it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Gosnell told a Philadelphia Inquirer reporter in October 1972, "As a physician, I am very concerned about the sanctity of life, but it is for this precise reason that I provide abortions for women who want and need them." In the same year, he performed 15 televised second trimester abortions using an experimental super coil method invented by Harvey Karman. So I looked up what this...
Televised.
So I was like wondering if you were gonna be like the first part of this sounds kind of like I'm going somewhere, like we might like him. So if you're feeling like we might like him, I encourage you to take feelings, model them up, and don't pop that cork until we get a little bit further, because he's not nice and we do not like him.
Okay.
This is going to go some terrible places.
I'm prepared for anything. Well, maybe, you know, not anything.
This is the down part of the hill. What's that called? Down?
Down.
The part where
it's
you go down.
Down.
This is where it gets...
This is the down part of the hill.
Like, you're just showing people around hills. So this is another hill. We have the up part of the hill. And then, but if you look over there, you have the down part of the hill. But really, if you just stand at the top and look around, they could all be the down parts of the hill. It's amazing.
It's all perspective.
I know. I feel like new people have been starting at our job, your previous job, and I've been like showing them around and introducing people, and I'm always just I have this like want to just like say something stupid, but you can't because you don't know those people.
Oh man,
you know.
At this point, I just go for it and see and like gauge the reaction to see what's going on. Yeah,
that would be fun.
Yeah,
to just introduce someone and be like, "This is blah blah blah. He shits with his pants on." That's the best I could do. I'm sick, okay? I have so much cough syrup inside of me.
He sits on the toilet and shits without... Purposely.
On purpose. He likes it. Shits with his pants on.
Oh my god.
I'm sorry, guys. It's fine.
Don't be sorry.
We're so sorry.
That was really good.
To you and no one else, because you're also sick. Okay.
Oh my god, I want to die.
All right. Okay. Well, that was a fun break, so let's get back to being depressed.
Yes. The down part of the hill, yes.
Let's go back down this hill.
And we're sad.
Okay, so 15 televised second trimester abortions. That's where we're at right now. That's what's happening. So this super coil method, what that means is that he basically inserted coils into the uterus where they caused irritation leading to an expulsion of the fetus. And that's a whole nother thing that we'll have to come back to sometime because some other guy made that and we're gonna
the actual
not
coil.
Talk about that anymore just because we have other things to talk about. But that's fucked. That's fucked.
It's fucked. I'm picturing like a corkscrew, like almost like a wine opener.
Like, yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. Like, like shape wise, I think that's a fair, you know, probably what not as sharp fuck? At the end, but it would be like a spring. Like, that's a coil.
So it's kind of, oh God, I hate, and I'm sorry, this is graphic for our listeners. But I'm just curious, like, is it just like, they just like kind of, put it in there and kind of just poke it around until they think something. I don't know. Oh god.
No, I mean, I think that is kind of, I mean, yeah, they caused irritation, so it's probably based on movement.
Shit, it's like they had one goal and it's like they just were like, okay, we just need to kill this fetus and think about literally nothing else.
Yeah, that was I mean, the experimental part of the experimental supercoil method is extremely accurate, and I'm pretty sure that it was just someone trying to be like this Harvey Carman. Like, I'm pretty sure he just wanted to be some great medical inventor, and he was like, well, that worked, but in actuality, 9 of the 15 women reported complications from the procedure. 3 of them reported severe complications. So 9 out of 15 didn't go well. 3 out of the 15 really didn't go well.
Yeah.
So that's not a good success rate.
No.
And
fuck.
And the super coil experiment by Gosnell has been dubbed as the Mother's Day Massacre. Which is sad.
Oh my god. My god.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
And I have to be honest with you, that's one of the least terrible things I'm going to talk about. So this is going to go to a bad place.
Well, I'm just thinking how the Mother's Day plays into it, and how even that name is like, it's still like guilting the women who had the procedure done, because it's like, oh, they could have been mothers, and weren't, you know. It's that's so like everything about that is really shitty, even the name of it.
Yeah,
like you think you're honoring these women by name. I guess I don't know, not honoring, but like it was a massacre.
Yeah. I think maybe someone was trying to be clever at the expense of,
yeah.
Like, I feel like when people say that, like, something like that's been dubbed a name, it means it probably happened in, like, media or something.
Yeah, and so totally.
Some clever young journalist was like, yeah, oh, look how clever I am, because get it, Mother's Day, it's not Mother's Day, but it's like they were mothers. So it's really insensitive, and I'm pretty sure that it was just some clever person trying to be, have a good newspaper article. That's a total guess. I have no idea. Yeah, that's true. So that could be totally inaccurate. Speculate. That's what we're here for.
Yeah.
When we said history, we meant frisky speculation. Where we just guess at
frisky
what happened.
Frisky guessing.
Who the fuck
guessing
knows?
And anger.
Yep.
So that's what a lot of that is.
Angry us, guessing.
Our thing, or whatever the fuck this is, a podcast.
Oh my
that's
God.
What we are.
That's what we do.
Okay.
All right. Shall we
bring it on?
Keep going. So, Lord. In 1979, he opened an abortion clinic called the Women's Medical Society. As a child of the neighborhood, Gosnell spent almost four decades running this clinic, giving back, so it appeared, to the community in which he continued to live and work. But the truth was something very different and evident to anyone who stepped inside the Women's Medical Society. So, red flag number one in this story, he's not an obstetrician or gynecologist. Apparently, he started but failed to complete a residency in either of those. So, wow. He's not licensed in any way to perform any sort of gynecological anything.
Wow.
He does not belong anywhere near uteruses.
But, I mean, it's like I could have probably guessed based on the massacre, and this is after the
apparently that did
and
not
people are
do,
still going
yeah
in. Oh my God.
He still had I think a pretty good reputation after that
what
televised thing. Like, I don't know if it's because people saw him as being like an advocate and putting it into the public eye, but I mean,
yeah,
what he did was not appropriate. It was not safe, more importantly, because obviously women suffered at the hands of his experimental televised abortion-a-thon.
Oh boy.
Because I have a... I'll cut that out.
I don't like it, but it's like, I can't believe, like, televised
on the goddamn TV.
What year? Like the 70s?
Allow me to scroll back up.
Sorry,
I don't remember.
I'm trying to get this.
Let's see, 1972, same year. So 1972. In 1972, when our moms were probably alive, someone was televising abortions using an experimental method.
Oh my fucking God, that's horrifying.
Yes, that's horrifying.
Oh my God. Okay. All right.
Okay.
Oh, boy. Okay. All right.
Dude, you have no idea. This is so terrible. I was so upset with myself for doing this.
God. And originally, you had like such a stressful week already, and then let me do some like fun podcast.
What did I do?
Research.
I actually did this over the weekend before my sickness kicked in, and like I had a really nice weekend, and it was sunny here in Seattle, and nice.
Yeah, you hear that, you motherfuckers? Doesn't always rain here. Fuck you.
That's true, actually. That
beautiful.
Is really, people do talk about that a lot. It is very nice here.
Mostly
I mean, it does rain,
family.
But it's nice. Don't be so mean to our city that we've lived in for like what, like a year or two.
Yeah, but also don't tell anyone because we don't want any more fucking people to move here.
Oh yeah, don't. God, no. No more people. I mean, we were fine, but no one else.
We moved here like a year ago.
Also, this weekend I saw that movie Game Night.
Oh, we watched it. Yeah.
You guys
Shit. No, I saw Game Over, man. Sorry. Different movie. Not
is that the one
good.
On Netflix?
Yeah, it's with the Workaholics guys.
Right.
They're like,
I
it's like
seen that.
So dumb. But
is
it's really stupid, but like if you get high and watch it, it's like, because it's just so over the top, but there's some really funny parts.
Well, also really funny.
So Game Night I did
Game
hear
Night.
Was really good. Yeah.
Yeah, we went to see it in the theater and it was. I'm a fucking disaster. It was really funny.
That's
it like
really fun.
It made me laugh really hard, and
I really
liked it. And I also think it's like a comedy that I feel like everyone could enjoy. Like when I describe movies, a lot of times I like to describe them through a lens of like, could I recommend this to my mom? Like, would my mom like it? Because my mom's very much like a an average cinema goer where she doesn't really think, you know, too hard into everything. Yeah. She just wants to go and watch a movie and she mm-hmm. wants to enjoy it.
Totally.
I mean, not that she doesn't think, of course, but she just doesn't dissect every little piece of a movie. She just kind of likes to go and have this nice viewing experience. Yeah. But I think that movie is really open. Like, it's, I feel like it is good for all audiences except, you know, children, maybe. Like, yeah. It's a big kid movie, but.
How did we get there? How did we get onto that topic?
I don't remember.
Oh, it was a beautiful sunny weekend.
Sunny weekend.
And you went
and
to
I enjoyed it. And then I did this.
You sat, right. You sat inside.
Stop being happy.
Okay. I'm sorry. God, I'm just you keep trying doing to. It.
Stop it. We're okay. Here to be depressed. That's what people come here for.
Tangents.
I got our results back and we only have emo listeners.
Oh, I mean, that's pretty on brand for me at least.
Honestly, I could be more emotional if I tried. I really maxed out on the emotions. Okay, let's keep going. Yes. So the reality of this clinic looked more like neglected patients, uncertified providers, and cats just roaming and defecating everywhere.
Ooh.
What? Cats. No.
Fuck cats. First of all.
Yeah, first of all, don't have cats. There's only enough room for one pussy in this clinic, if you know what I mean. It means don't put cats in here because that's weird.
It means fuck cats.
Cats have been worse and they're gross. Ew. But yeah, apparently.
God, the smell.
Yeah, that was seriously that like a huge. And it's so okay. So a quote about the state of the clinic described it as the walls appeared to be urine splattered. Mm. The procedure tables were old and one had a rip in the plastic cover. Suction tubing, which was used for abortion procedures, was corroded. It's gross. Gross.
Oh my God.
And like, no, it's okay. I'm going to come back to that actually. Okay. I'm just.
Yeah. I mean, so was this like a. Like sort of a I mean, it sounds pretty shady, but like one of those places that's like you, it's like a secret, like you wouldn't know what it is from the outside.
It is not quite a secret, but what you're getting at is correct. It is a place where they don't quite follow the rules and people know that, so when they need something that doesn't quite follow the rules, they know where to go, and that's kind of their only option.
Yeah,
which is why you would be there ever. Because it sounds fucking gross.
Sounds terrible.
So getting actually into that.
Okay, yeah.
Another issue is that Pennsylvania law bars abortions after 24 weeks of gestation, which is about the latest term at which abortions are legal in our country. That's pretty, like, that's kind of the latest you can get them. Mm. Because after that point, a fetus can be considered to be likely viable outside the womb. So like if a baby's born after 24 weeks with the right care, it would just be a premature baby, but it would be able to live. So that's usually around where abortions kind of in our country overall, that's kind of the cutoff for that, because at that point it's developed into a baby.
A baby.
Yeah. As opposed to a fetus or an embryo.
Or an adult.
Before it's ever. God, I don't know anything. Why am I even doing this? I don't know anything about Frisky women. Guessing. What do I know about us? I just live in this body. So Gosnell performed multiple abortions at 24.5 weeks. And I actually didn't realize that I wrote this because later I learned more. And he actually did it. He said in paperwork that they were like 24.5 weeks, so that's like just barely breaking the law, but actually it was much later than that most of the time.
Whoa.
So, and I wrote many of these procedures underestimated the period of gestation. So really, I mean, seriously, like 24.5 weeks is probably not accurate. That's kind of was his like, oh, I'll just say it was 0.5 over because, you know, who cares about fucking couple dates, but in reality it was like several weeks past when he should have been doing them. So he had this whole method for cheating the system when it came to determining the gestational time. So the law requires a measurement of gestational age that is usually done by ultrasound, and his solution to that was to kind of fudge the measurement process by, so like one, instead of hiring proper ultrasound technicians, he trained his staff himself, and most of his staff is uncertified in general. I'm not sure if I wrote it somewhere else, but in like some people had maybe been to medical school for a year or two, but some people have never even stepped on campus of a medical school, so they don't know anything.
Right.
They know as much as you and
I. Oh, just take this and do this. And they're like, oh, it's just a job. So, yeah, Jesus. It's
horrible. And so he would show them how to aim the ultrasound probe at an angle that makes a fetus look smaller. And if one of his workers recorded an ultrasound measurement that was too big, they would be like, oh, it messed up. We need to redo it. And then, like, every time the second ultrasound will come in lower because they do it right. Mm-hmm. So one of the clinic employees estimated that about 40% of the clinic's abortions occurred after 24 weeks. So he was really building his business on, oh, are you in trouble and didn't get it in time? Like, I'm winking at Robert. You guys can't see that.
I'm receiving the wink. Confirmed.
You guys can. I mean, now I just look like I have Tourette's.
It's really, please keep winking.
Wink the whole time we do the episode.
Oh, God.
I will probably pass out.
So it was mostly people.
So it was like, a very large percent of desperate women who did not do what they were supposed to do in the time, do what they wanted to do in the time.
Yeah.
That they had to do it. And so now they're even more desperate and they're very quickly running out of options. So we're also talking not just about women from Pennsylvania, but other states.
Wow. Yeah, that's and it's also like they're like, I'm desperate and this is the only place I can get this. And since you're doing it, it can't be like that bad. Like, what are you gonna kill me because you're doing it? So it must, and people go to you and people keep going to you. Yeah. So
I mean, I can't imagine the feeling like a woman must have gotten walking into a clinic that looked and smelt like that one.
Oh my God.
Like,
oh,
you
my
would
God,
have
no.
to be so desperate that you would be willing to let like some sort of procedure happen in a place that looks that disgusting.
I mean, they're not even trying.
No, they didn't. They did not give a shit about the state of the clinic because they were, I'll get to it, but they were making tons of money.
Oh my fucking God. Oh my God. Well, I mean, obviously, but also, my God. Gross. Awful.
So documentation of Gosnell's dangerous practices from Pennsylvania Health Department of Health records go back to the 1980s. So the clinic was first inspected in 1979 when it opened. And at that time, they had a medical director on staff who was a certified obstetrician / gynecologist. Hmm. But that certificate for approval, basically, the thing that basically said, like, oh, we inspected you and you passed and you're good, that expired in December of 1980. But the next documented inspection didn't happen until August of 1989. So 9 years after it was that approval had expired.
Oh my God.
So there was a lap in a whole 9 years of being inspected. And by then, Gosnell was the only doctor affiliated with the clinic. So the state health department noted several violations of Pennsylvania abortion regulations, but based on the mere promises to improve documentation and filing, they granted the clinic approval for an additional 12 months.
What the fuck?
Yeah. So they were like, this place is dirty. There's no doctor here. Like, that's the one that blows my mind. Like, sure, I can wrap my head around, we haven't been here in 9 years and you let this place get dirty. You need to clean it up and we're going to come back in a week and it better be fucking clean. But the fact that they left when there was literally no one who worked there who was allowed to do any sort of gynecological procedure at all. How
oh my God.
Is that okay? Like, how do you let that slide? Because like there are patients walking in that can't be helped by your standards. And yet,
why the fuck?
You're fine.
Like, I'm trying to think, like, were they getting money out of this or?
Yeah, I honestly just think
he could have paid them off or I don't know.
I didn't see anything about that. I do think it is possible that, like, some people who work these jobs, who work state, local government jobs, don't get paid a lot, and they may have just not really cared. But it does blow my mind that they gave him approval for another 12 months. Not like a fucking week.
I know.
Like, we'll be back in 2 days.
Like, how?
But a whole year.
Like, oh my God.
And they actually didn't come back in a year. Oh. So that was 1989.
Oh my God. Okay.
They came back in 1993. It was the same exact place. Just him, no certified doctors, and just nothing happened.
That's insane. That's when I was born.
Yeah.
So it's like, what, how, this is so recent. It's not so recent, but it's like, this was happening in the fucking 90s.
Yeah.
And I when I think of like sketchy abortion clinics like that, I think of, like, I know this is totally wrong, but I think of like the 40s or the 50s. So this is like,
that's funny, because I think of, it's not funny, but I think of Dirty Dancing. Because
I haven't seen that, actually.
Oh, really? Yeah. I mean, it's not like a great, fantastic film or something, but there is a girl in there who gets pregnant, and it's the reason why the other girl has to dance, like, learn to dance, is because she's taking that girl spot. But she, like, ends up getting, like, an abortion from one of those, like, skeezy fucking doctors. Whoa. With gross, dirty tools and stuff, and she gets really sick, and baby's dad, who's a doc. I'm sorry, who asked for this? No one wants to know.
I did.
Please give me the entire plot of Dirty Dancing real fast in between this very serious story we're covering.
It's like, we gotta. Because how do you fucking cope with this shit?
And it's gonna get so much worse. And I know it because I did it. But there's going to be literally another disclaimer in here where I'm gonna tell you, really, if you don't want to hear this, like, turn off, because it's gonna get very graphic and terrible. We're not there yet, so you can keep listening if you're okay.
Yeah.
We'll get there, and it's gonna be awful. Yeah. So over all of those years, the only thing that happened to Gosnell is that he got, and I don't know if it's Gosnell, like a hard nail, but I'm going to just keep saying it as if it's maybe an A and wrong, whatever. Who cares? He doesn't deserve
that
name to be said correctly. So he got some citations and like some fines, but that was all. That was all he received over those couple of years.
What the fuck?
And then there were no inspections of the clinic for over 16 years.
They know what the fuck is going on there.
No one came back for 16 years.
16 years.
It's all filed. It was all on file, and no one came back for 16 years.
Oh, my God. That's like when I was 16 years old.
Can you, like, imagine? Like,
I could have been one of those girls, you know? It's, like, fucking crazy to think about. Oh, my God. Oh,
so
my God.
This opened in 1979. So 10 years pass, and he has already had all of these things fall off, including the fact that there is no certified doctor there. So can you imagine, like, what would happen in another 16 years? Like, how Jesus bad Christ. Things, how much worse things would get?
They clearly haven't learned anything.
Mm-mm.
Nobody's doing shit to... Okay. Sorry.
And the health department did receive multiple complaints, including one from a doctor who said that his patients were becoming infected with STDs at Gosnell's clinic when they had their abortions. So they're getting complaints regularly, and still. So that part of this story is an obvious, like, terrible, egregious lapse in, like, regulatory oversight based on the health department. Like, they should have done so much more. And I mean, of course they could have prevented this had they done their jobs, but, you know, that doesn't by any means remove the blame from him, because he is an absolute monster. So okay, so we're gonna talk a little bit about the patient perspective in all of this. So in 1998, A 15-year-old girl said that she told Gosmo that she changed her mind about her abortion once she was inside the practice, but he allegedly got upset, ripped off her clothes, and forcibly restrained her, and then she regained consciousness 12 hours later in her aunt's home. I don't know why I said aunt. I don't say that. I say aunt. I'm not fancy, Robin. Her aunt's home. The abortion had been completed against her will.
Holy fuck.
The patient later stated that Gosnell told her that this is the same care that I would give my own daughter. I doubt that's true.
No.
I also read a bunch of stuff about how he gave white women much better treatment than he gave black women. I don't know if I included that, so I won't talk about it yet, just in case I did. I might have.
Yeah. I mean, of course.
And he is African American, not that, you know, it necessarily affects it, but.
Huh.
So a woman named Samika Shaw, her children or someone on behalf of her children filed a civil lawsuit against Gosnell in 2000. Shaw called the clinic the day after she had had an abortion to report heavy bleeding, and she died 3 days later, of a perforated uterus, and a bloodstream infection. The case alleged that Gosnell had failed to tell her to return to the clinic or to seek medical care. So he probably told her, that's normal, you're fine. But he had actually perforated her uterus during the procedure.
Oh my God.
And she most definitely needed some sort of emergency care.
And so what happened to her? Did she...
Well, she died, but...
Did you say that? I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. She died 3 days later. And then someone filed a lawsuit against him on behalf of her children. And I think that I think in most of these cases, he paid out. He, like, settled and paid them.
Because he had a shitload of money.
Yeah, he did have a shitload of money. In 2006, another civil lawsuit was filed by a patient who claimed that Gosnell had been unable to complete an abortion and then apparently failed or refused to call the paramedics for help. The patient said that she, in quotes, really felt like he was going to let her die.
Wow. I mean, he probably would have.
I mean, honestly, well, yeah, well, we're almost there.
Okay.
A 28-year-old woman who was 5 months pregnant. So 24 weeks, that's like seven. How many weeks? That's like seven something, right? So 5 months
five
pregnant.
5 months would be 20 weeks.
Yeah. So I think 20. Well, then 24 is 6 months pregnant then.
Okay.
So she's 5 months pregnant. Describe the pain 4 days after the abortion as being so bad she could barely walk. The patient described that upon returning to the clinic because of the pain, the ultrasound showed fetal remains left inside her uterus that Gosnell suctioned out without anesthesia. She said, I was just laying on the table and crying, and I just asked the Lord to get me through it. So, terrible, awful man. So in 2009, a refugee named who had recently come to the United States from a resettlement camp in Nepal, died while undergoing an abortion by Gosnell. So actually, that's a little misleading the way I wrote that. So let me tell you the whole thing. So Gosnell, I'm sure I covered this later, but Gosnell, he wasn't actually inside the clinic during the daytime. He performed most abortions at night after like 8 p.m. because a lot of them were a little on the illegal side. So he would have women arrive in the clinic early. He would have them medicated, and then he would arrive later. So she arrived at the clinic when Gosnell wasn't there, like most women would.
Right.
And just also, by the way, her death also did not trigger the health department investigating.
Okay.
That's not what did it. So according to prosecutors, Cosmo's staff gave the 90-pound woman a lethal dose of anesthesia and painkillers. After several hours, Ms. Mongar simply stopped breathing.
Oh.
When employees finally noticed, Gosnell was called in and briefly attempted to give her CPR. The defibrillator was broken because most of the equipment in his office was broken. He didn't administer emergency medications that might have restarted her heart. So before the paramedics arrived, the clinic staff hooked up machinery and rearranged her body to make it look like they had been in the middle of a routine safe abortion procedure.
Oh my God.
Finally, when the paramedics arrived, they were able to generate a weak pulse. But because the hallways were so cluttered, and also he had padlocked the emergency door and no one knew where the keys were, not even him.
What the fuck?
So it took them 20 minutes just to find a way to get her out of the building.
What?
And nobody fucking shut him down for this. He remained open. So doctors at the hospital managed to keep her heart beating, but they didn't know what they were trying to treat because Gosnell and his staff lied about how much anesthesia they'd given and who had given it.
No. The thing is, with that shit, I'm going to interject here because...
No, please.
When you go to a hospital, I've talked to my friend who's a nurse in the emergency room about this, and she's like, we don't fucking give a shit what the fuck you're on. You need to tell us exactly what's going on because that's what's going to help us help you. And if you fucking lie about it, and they can tell when people are lying about it, and they're like, no, you actually, like, we don't care. We're not going to fucking call the cops. So, well, I don't know. I don't know if that's true or not. I don't think that's true. I don't remember. But be fucking truthful about what, I know it's like they don't want to get in trouble for it, but it looks like he's doing fucking great anyway. So what the fuck?
Yeah. Like, I mean, I feel like the doctors, the doctors at the hospital had to have known that they weren't being truthful, because if they told them that, oh, we gave her this routine anesthetic that we gave her the right amount, then the doctors would be like, then she should be okay right now.
Of course.
So why isn't she okay right now?
So what the fuck did, what?
Yeah.
Oh my god. Oh my god. It's not us, it's her. She reacted wrong. Like, what the fuck? Oh my god. Oh my god. Sorry. So this is like in the 2000s?
Yeah, this is 2009.
Wow. Yep. I'm so stressed out. Okay. Sorry.
No, it's okay. And by that point, there was no way to restore any neurological activity, so life support was removed the next day, and she was pronounced dead.
Oh my god.
So in total, during the course of his career, 46 known lawsuits have been filed against him. For decades, Gosnell did not staff his facility with licensed or even qualified employees. He never properly monitored women under sedation, which I read some places that he did. If white women came in, that he would tell his staff not to touch them, not to give them anything, but to wait till he was in the office, and then he would take them to a private room. He'd administer it himself, and then he'd be there with them. So there are two primary parts to this operation. So like I said, he wasn't there during the day, he came in at night. It's because during the day, they were basically just, there was just a staff there handing out drug, like handing out prescriptions. Mm-hmm. Just like, it wasn't like patients needed them. It was like people who wanted like Oxycontin or something would come in, they'd slip them some money, and they'd get the prescription, and next thing you know, they'd have their drugs. So at night, it is when all of the abortions would happen and when he would actually be in the office. Wow. So the people who were there for the drugs would come during business hours, and then so he would just leave these like completely unqualified workers, he would just leave them with a blank pre-signed prescription pads, and they could just make fake prescriptions, and that brought in hundreds of thousands of dollars a year.
What the fuck?
Yeah, so a grand jury estimated that his practice took in $10,000 to $15,000 a night for a few hours of work performing abortions. So that's just what's happening with the abortions at night. That does not include the money that he made off of his drugs.
Wow.
The Atlantic described Gosnell's office as a corner takeout joint, but for various narcotics. Wow. People could simply walk in or call and order any drug they'd like from the reception desk. And Gosnell was making a huge profit off of his pill mill business. And he was writing around 1,900 prescriptions each month.
Oh. Well, I mean, it's not that I know the statistics for other offices. But, like, I also am curious what... I didn't really know that doctor's offices make money off of prescriptions. That things that they prescribe. So, I mean, I just don't...
I honestly don't totally know how that works either. But he must have
but
been.
But I'm sure, I mean, it sounds like that's,
yeah.
that's what
I
was
mean,
happening.
If you, if they pay you, well, I mean, this is also thinking, like, if a addict wants a pill enough, they're paying you to get the prescription, and they probably have to take that prescription to a pharmacy and pay for the drug.
I see. Oh, so people are paying to be subscribed. Oh,
yeah.
Subscribed to a medicine. So
subscribe
below. Oh, my God. Kill me.
Prescribe to our podcast.
Speaking of subscribe, oh my God.
Way to work at that segue. Oh,
kill me. Okay. No.
Yeah, so they're like slipping some hard money down just to get the prescription.
That makes sense. Yeah.
And then they probably do have to pay for that drug at an actual pharmacy.
I was thinking of it in like the pharmacy pays them somehow, but that doesn't make
sense.
I
mean, so. I honestly have no idea.
I mean, I'm sure
they could get
happen.
Some.
I have no fucking idea, but. That makes more sense.
I know that there. I know that it does, and this is strictly something I think because of movies and television, and it could be way wrong. But I do know that, like, pharmaceutical salespeople will go to doctors' offices and say, like, we have this new drug. If you can get, like, some people to try it out, you might get, like, some sort of compensation for that.
Yeah.
But the drugs he was giving away, I think, were pretty out there, like Oxycontin type drugs. Totally. So I don't know that he was getting that kind of money. I think he was just getting cash from writing prescriptions.
Shit.
So prosecutors say that Gosnell dove into this new market taking cash tips in addition to appointment fees to write prescriptions for all of Philadelphia's new favorite pharmaceutical narcotics like Oxycontin, Percocet, Xanax, and codeine cough syrup.
Okay, that's where it is. Yeah.
Yeah, so this says he was scribbling out as many as 200 prescriptions a night.
That's buck wild. Like, I don't have any gauge for that, but that sounds fucking crazy. Because then it's like, well, like, whatever. That's like 200 people going in and getting something. But it's also like people could get multiple things, whatever. But this is just how my brain is processing this.
I mean, with how much he charged, I would say most people are getting one thing.
Yeah.
If they're coming there for the drugs, they're coming there because they want the drugs for recreational use, not because they need them.
Of course.
Would be my guess. So for a late term abortion, Gosnell charged $1,600 to $3,000. When two of Gosnell's staff members sought abortions, they knew better than to go to him, and they went to other clinics where they marveled at physicians that actually counseled patients, the facilities appeared sanitary, and a doctor was in the room when they were medicated. Sorry to interrupt, but we're gonna cut this episode into two. So enjoy this Cosmo tip. Cheer up. Come back next week for more depressing, terrible things. And we promise it has a semi-happy ending, right? I mean,
Yes.
Yeah.
We spent a lot of time talking about Cosmo. So you're gonna feel everything. You're gonna feel upset, angry, sad.
Yeah.
It's true. Remorse.
Yeah,
and
so
you're also gonna be crying of laughter.
And then come back next week and feel them.
Yes.
More.
Yes.
With us. So should we talk about Cosmo?
I think that's a great transition.
I feel like I found one that I'm going to go with, but I don't love it.
That's how I feel about mine.
So I feel like usually when I find these, it's in some sort of article that's like, these are fucked up Cosmo tips, am I right? And it's like the things that the article writes about the tip are usually funnier than the tip itself.
Oh, yeah.
So this one I found on Cracked, and the headline for the tip is from Cracked is Shake His Nuts. So I was like, sold.
Okay, so we have this. Well, I found it in the same article. It's not the same tip. I know the one you're talking about, but it's from the same
That's
article.
That's so funny that we have the same
we're
article
already
up
running
on our
out.
Phone right
we're
now.
We're running out of tips.
Oh, my God. We're going to have to figure out a solution for this. Or not. We'll just keep telling you new ones that aren't even that funny or
We're just
going to
write our own, and you guys will fucking buy it. You
Whatever. You
sheep.
Guys you guys will subscribe and like, right? Please.
Definitely like our podcast. I recently noticed that I always say like our podcast, but it's like that's so vague.
What does that mean?
It doesn't mean anything. I'm always like and subscribe. And
we're
it's
not
like,
on YouTube,
where are you gonna
so you
like
can't
it?
Like it like you
I know.
Like a YouTube
yeah.
video.
Oh, that's why.
I but do it. Like it. I mean, we want you to like it.
Please like it.
I mean,
with
hell,
your, like,
what the hell?
Like
it. Love
it. Love what it.
A, you know,
love it.
Fucking go for
love
it. Maybe not this episode.
Give
this
us
is
a heart.
Bad example. We talked
Favorite
about terrible
that.
Things, and of course you want to
do
go cry into some ice cream.
Rate review. Okay.
Okay. Okay, so what men crave the most in bed, according to Cosmopolitan?
Of course.
The most amazing oral sex I've ever had was from a woman who jiggled my balls back and forth with her hand like she was shaking dice in a cup. Okay, first of all, who puts dice in a cup? Who doesn't?
Fucking, have you ever played Yahtzee?
Okay, well, yeah. I mean, that
okay.
one time. But of all
but
the other games.
That's literally the only game.
That's literally the only game. There's so many
fair,
more games where, in like,
I
feel
I'm
like
a Yahtzee
you're.
Pro.
So. I'm actually a competitive Yahtzeer.
You bitch.
International, thank you. So, yeah. So I just feel like putting it in your hand. Apparently, he thought he was going to explode. And this is Curtis, 33. So
ew.
Thanks, Curtis.
That
thanks
is...
for writing into Cosmopolitan at age 33 and sharing that.
Oh, my God.
Sharing
gross.
That tip with us about your
hate
balls.
It. Hate it. Hate.
Also, it really is dumb that you went Yahtzee with that. But there are so many games where you put dice in your hand and it's literally the same hand. It's literally the same thing, but you replace dice with balls.
We're both doing
but
it right now.
We're
and
both
it's,
doing it so that you...
Because it's just... Well, like, if it's in a cup, it's more...
Wait, how do you shake cup? That's like up and
how
down,
do
right?
Shake
is
cup?
That like shaking a... Like a mix, like a cocktail, like shaken, not stirred type thing? Is that not how you Yahtzee?
The top is open, so it's like your hand
oh.
goes over the top of the cup so the dice don't, so the balls don't escape.
Can't have the balls fall out of the cup.
And you swirl it around.
Oh,
so
that's, a, that
that's
is
definitely
a different...
what Curtis is saying is put your hands on top of the balls.
Whip it like...
Circular motion.
Yeah.
I just hit the mic. So circular motion.
Well,
so you really get
the
idea.
Tip.
Do that. Your dude is gonna love it.
He's gonna
it.
Love it. And then maybe put dice in your hand and then put his balls and see what happens.
Oh.
That might add some fun texture.
Put the dice in
yeah.
his balls. And
yeah, and then
and
when
you
like go
wear,
scream snake
maybe.
Eyes at him. And that'll be fun.
Wow.
So that's what I'm bringing
Cosmo
to you.
Cosmo is amazing.
It's what men crave. Listen to Curtis. He knows.
Oh my God. I swear to God, they must make up these fucking names because I just saw the name that is on my Cosmo tip and it's
oh
Caesar.
Caesar.
And he's 28.
Oh, Caesar.
Caesar, 28. Because mm-hmm. they have that comma. So that's how I always read it. So it's like Caesar, 28. And he says, a little known, oh fuck, I don't know how to pronounce that word. And I've seen it so many times. Erogenous.
Erogenous. Yeah.
Erogenous.
Right? I don't know. You're
a little known erogenous zone, the area between a guy's navel and his penis. Lick it, tickle it,
mm-hmm.
or gently tug the hairs there.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Caesar, 28.
Didn't we mention Caesar, 28.
Rip those hairs out. Rip
okay.
that happy trail the fuck out.
So lick it, tickle it, bop it.
Twist it, pull it.
You know there's so
pass
many
it.
New
da, 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 da. So
luckily this is an episode where I didn't have to laugh and I'm so sorry for coughing, guys, because that's the first time I've actually laughed today.
Yeah,
that was really funny. I love that you did the music.
About it. Yeah, so
thanks,
just take that happy trail and go to town.
Yeah. You work your way. You're working your way down. It's like the downside of a hill. You work
yeah.
your way down from navel to in between belly button, in between navel and genitals, and then you go
yeah.
to the balls and you win the game with a magic eight. You blow on them.
That's
first.
Right. And then you roll those dice,
and then you roll those dice.
Full circle. You
and
got
then you cash out.
You got.
You go home feeling
no whammies.
Gross.
and you won Wheel of Fortune, and that's
congratulations.
You won.
You did it. Are the survivor.
That's right. Fuck.
Because honestly, we are this who we are. We as are Kesha said.
Who we are. God bless.
She's queen.
And as always, praise Kesha.
As always. As always, Kesha is queen. So thanks for tuning in. And good night.
Oh, fuck.
That was hard. You can find us on the internet at Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Our handle is at Frisky History. You can also listen on SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, Google maybe has one. Anywhere podcasts are available.
You can direct your questions, concerns, feedback, and weird sex stories to our email at friskyhistory@gmail.com.
Yeah. So, bye.